You didn't notice your killer in the seat next to you on the flight to New York City. Indeed, no one paid much attention to the twitchy young man with the trimmed goatee and thick London accent. He breezed through security, flashing his British passport, before wandering over to the gate and easing his way into the black-backed airport chair. On that day, 200,000 other passengers and their baggage passed in and out of security at London Heathrow Airport with no problem. He was one of tens of thousands of people that afternoon milling about the terminal with plans to fly from Europe to North America. You both had economy class tickets for American Airlines flight number 131 from Heathrow to John F. Kennedy International Airport. The London to New York City route was the most popular long haul in the world. Some 60 flights crossed the Atlantic Ocean daily from one English-speaking metropolis to the other. The man, like you, had already had a bite to eat before heading out for the airport. It was going to take almost 9 hours to reach the Big Apple. Looking at your watch, you hoped to get some shut-eye on the flight before the wheels touched down on the tarmac. As you killed time playing with your phone, he stared passively at the monitor next to the gate, waiting for the flight to begin boarding. Together, you entered the airplane and played Tetris with your bags in the overhead bins. You dutifully buckled your seatbelt as the monitors began to play the pre-flight safety instructions for the wide-body passenger jet. You weren't sitting in an exit row, so you and your seatmate didn't have a special conversation with one of the stewards. You took a sip from the water bottle you brought with you. Air travel can be so dehydrating. After takeoff, the flight staff passed out drinks and pretzels. Some people were already feeling the effects of sleeping pills. A little blonde boy in the back was squealing. It was his first time on an airplane. It was dark out there, some 5 miles above the ocean. Around mid-flight, the man sitting beside you reached under the seat in front of him and fished out a small bag. You found it a bit odd how he kept peeking inside it during the early part of the flight. Without offending his personal space, you could see a sports drink and other assorted junk. If you were an especially sharp-eyed observer, it might have crossed your mind that the drink's orange tint was a bit off, a little too orange, or perhaps not orange enough, but maybe that was due to the airplane's dimmed lighting. He suddenly rose and said he was headed toward the lavatory by the wing, all the while examining his wristwatch. You moved your legs to allow him to pass. He mumbled a thank you and headed down the aisle. Absent-mindedly, you also checked the time. It read 9 p.m. on the dot. Your aircraft did not immediately disintegrate from the onboard explosion. Instead, the blast resulted in a compression of the surrounding air, creating an internal shockwave. The shock load, the pressure created by the explosion's front, ripped a large, gaping hole in the side of the aircraft. The cabin immediately depressurized. Sub-zero temperatures and a half ton of pressure surged in to fill the void. The air traveling almost at the speed of sound from the inside of the aircraft to the outside caused everything not strapped or bolted down to be sucked from the flapping, gaping wound. As large sections of the plane started ripping off, the pilots donned oxygen masks and attempted to descend to a lower altitude. The bomb had exploded in the bathroom near the wing, and the aircraft flipped and began to dive. Twisted pieces of airframe, fabric, plastic, plexiglass, passengers, and the odd piece of luggage descended earthward. Desperately punching in 7700 on their transponders, the squawk code for emergency, the pilots hoped any air traffic control and government officials monitoring these communications would take notice. The main civilian voice frequency of 121 megahertz, also the emergency frequency, heard a stream of garbled, sickly static. Sounds that originated as, "Mayday, mayday, mayday." At 5 miles up in the air and falling fast, passengers and air crew still alive were rendered unconscious. The last things you would have experienced. A flash of light, the sudden murderous expansion of air pressure, the acrid singe of explosives, and the violent contraction of steel and plastic. The jet, cruising over the North Atlantic at 35,000 feet at 470 knots, which is 540 miles per hour, with 240 passengers and 11 crew members, took approximately 2.5 minutes to hit the water. Then, a deep, eternal silence.